You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest would have been Jay Widener, as advertised, but I had some difficulty getting through to Jay, and so he was unable to show tonight, and I'm going to stand in and just do the show with a wonderful person who happens to own BBS Radio, Doug Newsom. And, you know, I haven't really had much of a chance to get to know Doug over these 9 years that we've been doing this together. And his twin brother, Don, was really the one that got me started in this business. So it'll be interesting to find out more about Doug and the station, where they've gone and what they've been doing. I only talked to him for about a minute before the show goes live. So it should be a fun show. And we'll get to know a little bit more about BBS Radio. So I think this will be a great opportunity. And, you know, for all of you out there that are longtime listeners or people who are just tuning in, we are live. And here's our guest. Oh, fantastic. Oh, my God, that's wonderful. All right. So, Jay, are you here now? We're having some technical difficulties. Jay has called in, and we're working on it. So these things happen in radio, you know. When you're live in life and you're in another world, things happen that, you know, you just can't explain. And sometimes you just have to kind of go with the flow and live in the unanswered question. And so, you know, these are moments that we can all learn from, that everything works out perfectly in really incredible synchronicity. And in fact, it seems to be almost continuous. I don't know how you guys feel about it out there listening, but it does seem as if it's pretty much a synchronous world that we live in, you know, where things happen that just are too coincidental for words. And so, you know, those are moments that we can look at to stop and slow down and just kind of take things one by one when it's more like a great explosion inside, you know? It's kind of like the, what was that, the creation of the universe when they had the Big Bang? Oh, yeah, the Big Bang. Yeah, it's like the Big Bang, you know? And I'm not talking about any kind of earthly bangs, but, you know, well, it could be that, too. I don't know. It might be an earthly bang. But, you know, when your head feels like it's exploding and all the cells and the atoms and molecules are spinning around and, you know, you don't know what you're doing because you just are twirling like a tornado in Kansas. So, you know, these are kind of different times, and I'm hoping that we get Jay on soon. And if we don't, we don't. And I'm okay with that. So the other thing that I notice lately is that there's a little bit of uncomfortability with being in the question and living without noise. And so, you know, silence is okay. You know, if we go silent on the air, we're all okay. You know, we're all in the now. We're all in the moment. And we can just be with ourselves. You know, there's nothing wrong with just being with ourselves. And, you know, there's nothing, we're not going to go crazy if we live in silence. We can go out in nature and talk to the trees, you know, listen to the stream, listen to the wind, the chimes. I have 2 wind chimes on my house, and I accidentally bought the same wind chime, and it's Mars. It's the name of the chime. And I thought, you know, this is kind of a Mars time, you know, when we're having a lot of explosive wars all over the world and all kinds of conflicts, are going on. And I don't know. It seems like they're just inner conflicts that are showing up somewhere on the projection screen, and I'm not really too worried about it. Well, hi, Jay. How are you doing? You're talking to us. Where are you at right now?
I'm in Southern Colorado. I had a series of where I actually did not bring my laptop, so therefore I lost all communication with the entire world. And decided that I would just call into this number after I looked up your website to be on your show.
Fantastic. Well, gee, I really missed you. You know, you really opened my eyes to so many things with your writings, especially about Stanley Kubrick and the, you know, the fake moon landings and the, you know, The Shining. I mean, that just, when I read that piece that you wrote about The Shining, I never liked that movie, to be honest with you. And when I went back and watched it, I got chills. And I just knew that you had hit the nail on the head. And, of course, Eyes Wide Shut, which was Stanley's last piece before he, well, died or was, you know, went to Mars or something. You know, the people that run this shadow world over here, the reptilians, I guess, they have pretty funny ways of operating, don't they?
Well, they do. The case with Stanley gets stranger and stranger. I'm working on my third volume in the trilogy for Kubrick's Odyssey right now. And Stanley just gets stranger and stranger. There's people on the internet now who are speculating that he didn't die and that he was actually faked his death and that he did 9/11. He was the director of 9/11. There's people on the internet who are saying now that he also directed the JFK assassination.
And really?
Yeah. The whole thing has really gotten very wacky. There's a very big pop group, rock group called Imagine Dragons, and they did their probably the most expensive music video. On Top of the World is the name of the song, and it's all about Stanley Kubrick faking the moon landings. And the top unpurchased screenplay in Hollywood right now is 1969 A Space Odyssey, which is, again, all about Kubrick faking the moon landings. So now the thing has gone into pop culture, and I don't know where it's going to end up. But more and more people do not believe that the moon landings actually happened. And NASA's got a serious problem on their hands.
Well, you know, now that you're talking about the moon landings, let's just take this a little deeper, because I used to believe that the moon was hollow and that it was some kind of space station that had, you know, that was being used by, you know, the Archons and so on to with mind control and various other things to keep an eye on the Earth, because it mysteriously is in a certain place, and there's a great deal of evidence that, you know, there's something going on there. And then I heard an interview with John Lear, and yeah. I'd heard it before years ago, but for some reason it struck a chord that the corporations are mining the backside of the moon, and that there are rivers plants and trees and things like that. It's kind of Earth-like, but there are huge devices that are mining 24/7. So that wouldn't surprise me that there was a major cover-up like that going on, because we know that NASA, I mean, you and I know, and a few others, wink, wink, know that NASA is a cover-up for the real breakaway civilization that has all the truly advanced technologies, and that Dick Cheney is in charge of the Mars operation, the bases there. So it does get stranger and stranger, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and I would say that they're probably not so much mining the moon as they're mining the moon for information. So the moon really is, I believe, a hollowed out planetoid or asteroid or whatever, which occupants live inside it. But what NASA's real mission is to go there and to find the technology that's been left behind, assuming that nobody's there. I'm assuming that actually there are beings there and they're watching us. And when Gurdjieff talked about near-death experiences and where when people would die, they would go towards the light, Earth, and they would go towards the light, which seemed to be at the end of a tunnel. And Gurdjieff warned that that light that people were seeing was actually the moon.
Yes.
And that the moon was a soul possessor, a soul stealer.
That's
and,
right.
And that you shouldn't go, which is also what the Gnostics taught, is that you should that light when you die, because that light is a soul sucker, which pushes you back into the cycle of reincarnation, where the archons can just continuously suck your energy. I'm kind of with this whole thing, and I believe that the moon is much, much more nefarious than we've previously thought.
Oh, I agree with you on that one. And having been in a esoteric school studying Gurdjieff and Uspensky, I remember that. He talks about the ray of creation, that the moon is evolving, and that if the soul has not completed itself consciously, that it gets recycled, and that there are, you know, beings or entities, call them grays or archons or whatever you want to call them, that have a kind of advanced device like a monolith, which Kubrick was showing in his movies, which is a soul catcher, and they simply, those souls that have kind of ignored their own evolution and just created a horrendous projection here, simply get recycled and they keep coming back. And that seems pretty, it seems like a good possibility to me, because what I see running around are a bunch of zombies that are mind-controlled, that can't think for themselves, so it's a lot easier to kind of just close your eyes and just throw darts at things and just think, well, it doesn't matter. I'll just, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then your soul goes to get recycled and it hasn't completed itself. And, yeah, there might be karma. And the karma is you blew it.
Lately I've been discussing with various people the fact that, you know, there was this big, you know, some people think a disappointment in December of 2012 when the big mass collective enlightenment did not happen. And I'm actually of a mind that is saying that that's not true. That actually there was an enlightenment around December 21st, 2012, but it wasn't the kind of enlightenment that we were expecting.
Yeah.
Beautifully, the universe always paints a reality different than what we're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And what the universe did in December 2012 was it revealed a new reality to us who were previously had thought that we were enlightened, but actually we were the ones that were headed for the enlightenment of 2012. And what was that enlightenment? Well, I don't know if you've ever approached this subject on your show or not, but the Enlightenment actually began 1 week before December 21st, 2012, on December 14th, 2012, with Sandy Hook. And the Enlightenment wasn't that, oh, there's this collective awakening of a spiritual essence.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't what the awakening was. The awakening was, wow, they can really fake things really well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They can get a lot of people in on the fake.
Yeah.
And those people will remain silent. And so a whole paradigm of reality came to the, I guess you would call it, what, the truther community or the alternative community, the ex-hippie community, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, we all woke up around Sandy Hook, and we went, they are obviously faking this event. Mm-hmm. And if they're faking the moon landings and faking a lot of other events, then what else are they faking? Kind of back engineering started among our crowd at that time, around January, actually, of 2013, when the dawning reality of what had really occurred at Sandy Hook or had not occurred at Sandy Hook began to dawn on all of us. We began to back engineer. And there's a wonderful researcher named Miles Mathis, milesmathis.com, who is a very brilliant guy who's going back and back engineering all sorts of events and finding out that they're all false. It's not just the moon landings, it's the Patty Hearst kidnapping, it's the Charles Manson there, it's possibly even John Lennon's death is fake. And we're all like realizing at the same time that there is a theater going on that is absolutely stunning. It's the detail of its theater, and and if you know how to read the theater, we can see it's fake, but it's so real to everyone else that they are literally making reality in front of us, and we have no control over it, even though that reality that they're creating is completely and utterly fake. And that is the dawn of the new reality for us.
Yeah.
We have to understand that fear is the business model here. And they are manufacturing events to cause us to be afraid.
Yep.
And they can't sell their pharmaceutical drugs. They can't sell their armaments. They can't sell their war unless we are utterly and totally in fear. And so they do. They are creating theatrical events like Sandy Hook, like the so many other things that are going on to keep us in fear. And I am here to say that we need to wake up and to realize this, because it is to our own future that we do not let them guide us through fear.
Absolutely right on the money, Jay. I am with you 1,000% on that one. And the more we look into it, the more we can see. There was a fascinating little piece that Yoko Ono did about some kind of, you know, memorial to John that she started in Iceland, and I was moved by it. And then she was interviewed in her home, and it was all white behind her, and the flooring was black and white pentagons. And I thought, oh, I see, I get it, kind of like, you know, the Stanley Kubrick stuff and the Illuminati and so on. And the, you know, the Fukushima event and the New Orleans thing and all, and just really anything that hits the news, because the news is all controlled and they are all, So we're really looking at a grand theater on such a scale that it boggles the mind. And I think that most
people
don't.
Well, I mean, I'm completely mind-boggled by it. I'm going back and looking at things, and I'm completely blown away by the plasticity of it. Going back and looking at YouTubes of different events that happened in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and realizing how phony they are. How absolutely phony they are, how ridiculous they are. And, you know, just the Patty Hearst kidnapping. I started going back through those and looking at the Patty Hearst kidnapping, and I'm realizing how utterly contrived it was that the SL, Symbionese Liberation I mean, all came out of the University of California at Berkeley. And then I realized that the Hearst family, whom Patty Hearst was a member, were the biggest donors to the University of Berkeley in California. And realizing that there's just so many coincidences that just seemed utterly contrived that, and once you start looking into it,
the rabbit hole keeps getting deeper. I mean, I had heard that, for instance, in the 60s, late 60s, when I was kind of on my drug thing, that Paul had died, okay? There was a lot of, people were playing records backward. I heard it recently, and it was like a documentary, and they showed how, he was decapitated. Well, that's kind of a symbolic act. I mean, everything here seems to be a metaphor, and that his stand-in had been placed in his place because the Beatles were too big. They didn't want to just have it end, and so they had a stand-in. Well, then there was another one after that. So who's the Paul that's here today? If that's true, is he a clone? And that takes us down another rabbit hole. There are clones. Cloning centers.
There might be. I mean, for sure, the Paul that is on the Peppers record and Magical Mystery Tour and White Album and Let It Be is not the Paul that is on Rubber Soul. And his voice isn't even the same.
Yeah,
and a great example is just the other day with Lady Madonna. Clearly not Paul singing that song. It's somebody completely has a much lower voice. And by the way, the new Paul, if you notice, never outside of one time in the Magical Mystery or movie, he's playing the bass, and this is the only time that Paul has to look at his bass to play it. In other words, when Paul is on the Ed Sullivan Show, he never looks at his bass. He's such a good musician that he doesn't have to worry about what's going on down there. And by the way, playing a bass and singing is very difficult.
Yeah.
And the same thing, but new Paul, the only film that we have of him playing bass, he has to look at everything he's doing. He looks completely clumsy. But if you think about it, the only time you see the Beatles after 1967, outside the Magical Mystery Tour, is the two videos, Dude and Revolution, and in both of those, Paul is playing the piano. So he's not ever showing himself playing the bass in one brief instant where he's clearly not efficient at playing it. However, there's a YouTube video of the new Paul at the Maharishi's in India, and he's playing acoustic guitar right-handed.
Wow.
So the new Paul is 6'3". The old Paul was 5'11". New Paul has a much more extended chin. His hair is combs from the left to the right, whereas the old Paul's hair went from the right to the left.
Huh.
And the old Paul had a kind of a pudgy little round face, and the new Paul has a thin, long face, and I can tell who is who in a split second. Just show me the photograph, and I know exactly who is who. So, there's a lot of trickery going on here.
Wow. Well, of course, that brings up the whole idea that the kings and queens and the presidents and the movie stars are all just, they could easily be stand-ins that come and go out of our time frame and perception.
I have friends, that are extremely talented musicians that they're now in their late 50s, early 60s, and they don't know why they didn't make it,
They
went to L.A., they went to San Francisco, and they're like, I'm talented, I'm a good musician, why didn't I make it? And I'm like, dude, you didn't make it because you're not in the club.
Right. Look at that guy, the black guy, a singer who's just so incredible from South Africa, that they discovered he'd been.
Yeah, right. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He was awesome, and then he never made it, right?
Yeah, and he's a better singer than the dude that what's his name? You know, the twang, and I never liked him. Dylan. Bob Dylan.
Yep.
So they decided.
Bob Dylan's a total phony.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Phony.
He has no talent. He doesn't know how to sing.
He didn't even write his own songs, man. He
bought
those songs.
Right.
He bought
that was
Blown
somebody
in the Wind from a 17-year-old. Bob Dylan bought Blown in the Wind from a 17-year-old teenager who lived in New Jersey in 1961. He bought almost every hit song he ever wrote. There's a huge scandal going on right now. The songwriter who wrote the song Dignity is trying to get Dylan to hand over a whole bunch of money because Dylan claims he wrote the song. Dylan didn't write the song. He stole it or bought it or whatever, but he didn't write it. So, I mean, Dylan is just another one of the phony bull crap we've had to deal with in our life.
Well,
a rich kid who bought his way into superdom.
Yeah. And isn't that how they work? You know, the puppet masters that are pulling the strings, they have unlimited finance, and they just pull one out and put the other one on. And Madonna, all these people come out of nowhere. The owner of Microsoft that's vaccinating the world and giving us poisonous vaccines that are not only dumbing us down and killing brain cells and destroying babies, there's fluoride in baby food now. What they need it for their teeth? Come on, that's a bunch of bullshit. Pardon my language.
They're trying to destroy us.
You don't need fluoride in baby food because they don't have teeth yet. What, we're protecting them from the future? Oh, come on. Now, you people can't be that stupid, can they? And when they take babies off of the mother's milk, which has miraculous healing properties and subtle energies, that's the gimmick. Oh, you shouldn't nurse your baby. No, here, two formula. This is better. Oh, yeah, okay. And we got to give them 50 vaccinations now, and then we got to baptize them. So as if the soul hasn't been completely fragmented and destroyed, they vaccinate them, and then they baptize them, which seals them. That's the seal for the soul. And then if that doesn't work, the global pedophile industry that's run by the royals and the Illuminati people, they grab them as babies, and they simply traumatize them at 3 years old, you know, or they use them in rituals. So, I mean, this is a wacky world we're in. And people, you know, they haven't heard this. Yeah. And I know about
we're
this.
Being traumatized.
Yeah, you know,
we're being traumatized.
Yeah.
This is the thing that we have to understand, is that these events, 9/11 and the Boston bombing and Sandy Hook and the Patty Hearst kidnapping and on and on and on, these are all meant to cause
trauma.
It's called trauma-based mind control.
And
it causes cognitive dissonance when you witness an event that's so mind-boggling, horrible, like Sandy Hook. You are caught in a moment of cognitive dissonance where your mind is now ready to be influenced by influencers because you're caught in this moment of this fusion. So that's when they hit you with it. And it is outrageous what they're doing. And we have to wake up to this theater, to the fact that we are being, that people aren't really dying. I keep trying to tell people these things. Listen, man, nobody died at Sandy Hook. Nobody died in the Boston bombings. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just them faking things. And no little children suffered trauma. None of that happened. We know that because they cannot stand up to our scrutiny. And we are scrutinizing them. And, you know, and I'm starting to wonder about a lot of things. I really am. I'm beginning to wonder, you know, are atomic weapons actually real? Is this just a hoax. I mean, can we really expect that for 70 years we've had nuclear weapons everywhere, all over the earth, and not one time has there ever been an accident? Really? Not once? Not once did a crazy person launch a missile or an airplane with a nuclear weapon and cause destruction? Not once in 70 years? How in the world does a race as screwed up as a human race be so fortunate as to never have a nuclear accident? Really? I just don't know. I'm having a hard time with it.
Well, you know, what about Fukushima?
Again, there's a farmer, and again, if Fukushima is real, and I think it's real, I don't want to think it's not real, okay? But if Fukushima is real, then will someone please explain to me why and how there is a farmer who lives 2 miles away from Fukushima who refused to leave the area because he loves animals, and here he is over 4 years later, and he's still alive, and all of his animals are still alive. Will someone please explain to me, because I have been all over the Internet trying to figure this out.
Well, you know, they have a secret Internet, and we don't have access to it because we are not in the club. But, you know, the other thing about it is I live in California, and we've had a drought here supposedly for 4 or 5 years, and California is going to theoretically be without water in a year. So there's going to be a mass migration out of California. And then Michael Murphy, who was on the show fairly recently, did the movies on chemtrails, you know, what in the world are they, for what on earth?
I know Michael. He's a good friend of mine, yeah.
Yeah, isn't he great? I love him. And he said on the last show that the chemtrails, part of the reason for them is that the elite are, or the, you know, they are moving the Gulf Stream up to the Arctic, which is frozen, and they're freezing, they're drying up California because they want it to dry out and get rid of all the organic farmers and have them all have to, and then they buy up the farms, just like the Great Depression was a show. It was totally artificial by and created by the bankers, and then so was 9-1-1. You know, people were suffering. My father went through the Depression. So back to this thing about the drought here in California, I am certain that it's artificially created. And they're moving the weather, the warm air, up to the Arctic. Why? Because they have found oil, gas, diamonds, gold, and possibly artifacts, ancient artifacts that are buried there. There's rumors about China and Russia and America working jointly, privately, on some kind of ancient artifact that is like 600,000 years old and it still runs and they're studying it and all that. We don't get to find out about that because Google, you know, conceals all of the information and everything is covered up and it's like a movie screen. So that they get to melt the ice so they can get to the goodies, whatever those are. You know, it's all multidimensional and layered, so you have to work through the dimensions. They get to the goodies, and then on top of it all, they get to use the politicians to cry global warming. And then they have a global carbon tax. The world has to pull together and pay. It's all, if there's ever a price tag for anything, I know that they have a hand in it. So the whole world, we, the people who are doing the labor, the slaves, get to pay for this, and they're kicking back and, you know, having fun watching us jump through the hoops and like, you know, monkeys in a zoo or you know, rats in a cage or whatever. And it's really, it's kind of funny. So then they get to melt things and say, the ice caps are melting. And they're creating that.
And they're not.
And they're not. All right. And they're not. So, you know, what's real here? Well,
the,
I don't know.
The ice caps of the Northern Pole have been freezing severely for the last 5 years.
Wow.
One of the worst freezes that has ever been witnessed. I have no people who have been there and told me it. So I, you know, I hear all the global warming crap, and I hardly believe I'm hearing. And definitely this high pressure system, ridiculous high pressure system that's been over California for all this time period, is artificial. And
yeah,
it's designed to destroy the Central Valley's production of vegetables and fruits.
Yeah.
And it will actually destroy almost all of the nut growing ability of California. And then they're just going to come in and they're going to buy that land up for
yeah.
cheap. They're going to turn the rain back on, and they're going to be living in paradise.
Yeah,
this is not
absolutely
the first time this has happened, and but this is the most egregious thing
yeah.
I've seen in a long time. And
yeah.
I don't know what to tell you except run for your life. If you have a greenhouse, start growing your own food. There is going to be a food shortage. You know, Stalin killed 20 million Ukrainians because they refused to buckle to his demands.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's not what's going on with us. If we
yeah.
have exposed the cabal and through the alternative media, and we're not being punished for,
yeah.
for
oh,
this,
yeah.
this act.
Okay. Right. They're petty and childish enough to just do something because we've simply seen through the Wizards of Oz. We pulled the curtain back, and they're capable of being vicious. You know, my friend over in the in the UK and Poland, Julian Rose, is an outspoken person on GMO, non-GMO foods. And what the EU is trying to do over there is buy up all the thousands of farmers that have been there for hundreds of years, and you know, upgrade to modern techniques because they want the things to be safe and increase production. Well, he fought that in Poland, and they banned GMOs. Now they're starting to creep in, you know, like a poison oak or poison ivy, and they're creeping back in, and they're really creepy. Whatever they are, they're really creepy and sneaky. They're like little vampires sucking the blood out of everything, mainly out of us, but, you know, that's a little thing. But you know, he's very concerned about this because the subtle connections with true living things would then be severed. And then, like China and the rest of these countries, everyone moves to the city. Well, Julian confronted the EU on this and said, where do you expect these farmers to go? And these people in suits are looking down on him from their pedestal on high, look like, who is this gnat that we should, you know, can't we just swat him and be rid of him? You know, and this is how they think. And so they didn't win that round, but it's an ongoing battle of creeping death, you know, and they're not content to own everything on paper. They have to literally suck it dry. And it's like, you know, until the last blood drop is taken from us, they're simply going to keep on taking. And until people wake up and see what's going on and start, you know, really reclaiming their sovereign power by starting within themselves, then, you know, those people aren't going to fare very well.
Well, I think you're right. I think we need to start... well, you know, you should start growing your own food and getting good seeds and moving to a place where there's decent water. And the hope isn't up for California. There are rumors that there's an El Nino on the horizon. If so, then California could suddenly get a whole bunch of water. It's happened before. I used to live in California very well with droughts being broken. I've never seen a drought like the one that's going on right now,
however. Oh, yeah. And what about free energy?
I really have to wonder if they're not going to break our back, because 60% of all the vegetables, lettuce, avocados, all the good stuff grows in the Central Valley.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I was a kid, my parents lived in Santa Barbara, and they had a house, and there was an avocado tree in the backyard. And one of their friends was a gardener, and he grafted an avocado strain onto the existing branch. That avocado grew to be like three stories high, and it had huge, round, coconut-shaped avocados that weighed like 2 pounds apiece, and they were just filled with the richest, butteriest, most flavorful avocado you can imagine with no strings. And I used to go out as a little kid, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever, and I'd have a little avocado stand, and I'd sell them for $1 apiece. I have never seen those in the stores. I don't know where you could get them, but, you know, they are vanished. So I'm guessing that somewhere this avocado tree exists, and it wasn't a figment of my imagination. But it goes the way of all good things. They get eaten up, gobbled up, like the honey hot bees. That's another thing. My grandparents were pioneers that came out from Kansas. They raised bees on their farm, and I used to help my grandfather and my grandmother, when my grandfather passed away, to take the honey off. And we'd smoke it and so on. And there we have fresh 1 pound chunks of honey on the table always. I used to chew that for hours like bubble gum. You can't find. I mean, it's almost impossible to find honey in the wax anymore because it's not pasteurized. And I tried to buy some beehives from a woman who has a PhD in bee husbandry or whatever you call it. And she was telling me, well, you can't just buy the hives and have bees show up. And you can't just place them there on your property. I thought, well, why the hell not? Why can't I? They're all over the place. The bees are smarter than we are in many ways. They'll find the hive, and they'll make their own place, and I don't care about the honey. I'll get a little bit of it later, or, you know, I'll figure it out. Oh, no, you have to take classes. My husband has a PhD in this, and no. We're not going to let you have any bees because you're not smart enough, and you don't have enough degrees to comprehend the bees. Well, I'm telling you, the bees are smarter than we are. They go back to Egyptian times or before, and the Egyptians used to learn from the bees. So, in fact, there are rumors that the one of the queens of Egypt was a bee herself. So, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Merovingians, which was to rule France for like 300 years, they worshipped a bee also.
Yeah.
So, these things gone.
Yeah. I can remember some science fiction movies where, you know, the queen of the bees. And there was an Outer Limits
episode. When was the last time you saw a monarch butterfly?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Huh. That's a good question. They used to be everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
I haven't seen one in years.
Yeah, oh, that's an interesting one. You know, and we can, our memory is relatively intact, and it goes back long enough to remember things, you know, that the kids today can't remember because guess what? They're in a field, a cocoon of electronic magnetic frequencies. You could probably explain that better than I can because I ain't no technician or quantum physicist. But
well,
you know,
I mean, just that, you know, all the phones and the smart televisions and everything, we're swimming in a sea of these electromagnetic frequencies.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that back when the radio was first invented in the 19 teens, people who received, who got radios for the first time, they complained that the radio made them sick when it was on. And
really?
Yeah, but if... Yeah, and but strangely, if you were born with the radio frequencies around you, they don't seem to bother you as much. But you know, people like us who were living in a world with very few electromagnetic frequencies, and now we're living in a world where they're everywhere, always.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be very interesting.
Well, yeah, the smart-ass meters. I dig into these things as much as I can, and I kind of heard rumors about the new digital meters from, I guess, General Electric or the PG&E, whatever. But General Electric stole the Tesla technology, And Tesla was murdered because J.P. Morgan simply couldn't permit, he and his buddies that sunk the Titanic, they didn't want the billionaires that were against the Federal Reserve to live, so they just didn't make that ship somehow. And the really concerned humanitarians that were wealthy somehow mysteriously died on the Titanic. Well, isn't that a coincidence? But so these smart-ass meters, apparently they can read things in tiers now. There's tiered metering, not just, what you have on as one unit, but now they can determine what it is you have on. And it can do a lot of other things than that. And so these tiers are happening at the gas and propane companies. And somebody said, yeah, did you know about tiers? I said, yeah, they're tiers of sorrow. So anyway, to make a long story longer, some clever people have, remember when they said you got to wear a tinfoil hat? The crazy people wear tinfoil hats. Well, there's some nutty people out there that are, there's one guy who's an electrical engineer or electrician or whatever. He's not a smart guy, but he used to throw his magnets on the meter panel because it's metal. And the people who are on the meter people came out to read it said, you are doing something illegal. We're going to charge you $695 for the bill for the meter that you didn't pay for because you placed a magnet there. He says, I didn't do that on purpose. I just throw it there because that's where it'll stick. He said, I wasn't trying to do it. And so apparently magnets, if they're on a metal box, do something to the digital meters and throw the reading off. So there's that. And then another person on a video said, I'm in San Francisco, and we're metering these, we're reading the meters that are at head level that are exposed so that they can be seen and transmit. And so there's thousands of people walking through the streets getting blasted with these digital meters. And so they held the meter thing up and said, this is what you're getting blasted with. And so the one person's solution was to put tin foil over the meter, which apparently protects you from the radiation, the electromagnetic, from the radiation. But there are other people that have made, like, cages for the meters, the smart meters, and they put a cage around it, like a monkey at the zoo. And that way, the meter can still transmit information, but you don't get blasted with the rays. Well, what's going on with all this stuff at the pat-downs and having to walk through radiation devices? They have devices now that are mobile that can X-ray through cars. So if you just happen to have a dog in the car, and they've got these powerful X-rays that are concealed inside vans, and they're going around checking for guns and, money probably, and who knows what else. I mean, it's a crazy drama that they're creating here. Everybody's getting blasted with X-rays there. So, I don't know if that's true or not, or if X-rays are harmful, or maybe they help us see more clearly, like Superman. I'm really beginning to question everything, including my own sanity.
Well, that's a good sign.
I'm completely
convinced that whatever we're being told needs to be questioned. And I'm questioning everything at this point, and I don't believe any of it. And I have a suspicion that things are actually much better being told.
And things
are not nearly as bad as we're being told, because they want us in fear. That's their goal.
Yes.
So once I understand that their goal is fear as a business model, now I realize that a lot of the stuff I'm being told is actually BS.
Yes. Yeah, and you know what? That really is the key to spiritual awakening anyway, because we know... Because why would anybody that knows that person is infinite and eternal being of light, why would there be any fear of death? If you're not afraid of death, that kind of ruins the whole game, doesn't it? Or if you're just, even if you don't know what's going to happen before and after and you're not sure about that part of it, the eternal and infinite part, you can simply cut to the chase and just be rid of fear, because most of these situations are things that we can't do anything about, and it only destroys our own inner evolution. So, as Mara Baba said, be happy, you know, and that kind of... That's kind of a prescription for navigating these waters that I'm following, because it's really not the real world. I don't think this is the real world. I think there's a new world that is here that we're not tuning into, or that some people are tuning into, that is really quite beautiful and wonderful. And, you know, it has to do with our dreams and our dream visions and tuning and... I think it's time for a new note. And the old religions and spiritual things that, you know, where you'd say Om or chant Hare Krishna or do anything like that, or those are old paradigms that don't work anymore. You know, the people who brought those to us, they had the rod of power for a moment, and they went in a direction that was not compatible with the real world. And so other people have taken the mantle and are doing things that are really creative and fun. And if your life isn't fun and you're not doing something that's really exciting, that you enjoy getting up in the morning, then, you know, keep on looking and find that stuff that brings you joy. Because I think this is the fake world. And I think there's a real world that we can tap into that's really different and new and wonderful. So I'm not worried about it, and I'm not going to watch the drama or the drama, because it's really not my business. You know, it's none of my business what X, Y, and Z does in some other country, and outrage thoughts of justice just take you down a road that is another dead end, just like the movie The Shining. You know, why go there? It's a maze. It's the earthly maze, just as you pointed out so wisely in your analysis, and I'm looking forward to your work on Eyes Wide Shut, because, what can you tell us about that? That was like almost a documentary verbatim, except for the last scenes being cut out.
Well, you'll have to wait for Kubrick's Odyssey 3 to find out that one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I do hope I'm on your list. Wink, wink.
You are.
Okay, good. Well, so, Jay, what else are you doing? You're working for you're working with Gaiam TV now? What's going on? I don't even know.
Right now I have a feature film that's coming out right now called The Last Avatar. Which stars Neil Donald Walsh as Count Saint Germain. It takes place on Mount Shasta, and it's been getting a lot of rave reviews, and it'll be out so you can watch on, you know, iTunes and stuff very soon. And then I have Kubrick's Odyssey 3 coming out sometime this year, and things are busy. I'm working at a place called Gaiam TV, and I'm producing programming for them. It's GaiamTV.com. It's a Netflix for our kind of people. And we have shows with, you know, David Wilcock and George Noe and Gina Meredith and a lot of really cool people. And I invite all of you to go there and take a... I think you can even join for 99 cents right now for a whole month. And, you know, just partake of the programming and see if you like it, because it... I can tell you, if you're listening to Lance and Zany Mystic, then you're going to like the programming at GaiamTV.com, and you're going to like my movie, The Last Avatar. So go to TheLastAvatarMovie.com and check out the trailer to our movie, and come see it, because it's going to be a very enlightening experience.
Wow, that's all really exciting, Jay. I I'm going to log on and check it out as soon as we get off the show. And you're also, you've still got your old website, www.jaywidener.com, right?
Yeah, and sacredmysteries.com, which is where all my videos are. So go to either one of those. Jay Widener has all my free articles, and Sacred Mysteries has all my videos.
How's Sharon Rose doing these days?
She's doing great. She's
oh, good. Wonderful.
Finally relaxing after, yep, everything is good.
Wonderful. Well, Jay, this has been an unexpected treat. And, of course, as you know, we kind of filled in a little bit at the beginning. So this is all impromptu. That none of this is scripted. And it's been a real delight talking to you again. And I thank you for returning and catching us up on a lot of things. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, good night, everyone. And I'll see you in the new world.